I'm Marco Werman, and you're listening to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Bad weather in Nepal is not helping in its recovery from Saturday's earthquake, but there has been some good news. Today, two people were pulled alive from the rubble of destroyed buildings. The bigger picture of what's happening in Nepal right now, though, is harder to grasp for us here in the U.S. When covering a crisis like this one, we in the media often rely on the stories of those affected on the ground, survivors, or people with family on the ground, like Trochis Karki. He's from Britain and was recently interviewed there about how his family is coping now in Nepal. But he left the interview feeling that listeners were missing the real story. Karki works for the development agency Oxford Policy Management, and he's actually been helping in the recovery effort from his home in Oxford.
A lot of the emphasis right now, especially around crises, is around these human stories. But the extent of the problem goes far beyond that. There's an entire story that is largely untold. The story of what's happening in rural areas where the devastation is far bigger and the inability of sort of aid workers as well as agencies to reach them.
So what are the actual logistical challenges in reaching these villages? I hear some villages near Kathmandu are starting to get help, but the other ones, what challenges do they face?
To answer that question, we need to understand this earthquake within the broader political economy. It is not that, you know, these villages have always had great access to the cities in the first place. You know, these are some of the most rural parts of the country where many of the poorest people live. And so it is no surprise that it's difficult to reach these places now. The fact that a lot of the aid agencies and the government are centered around cities, historically, a lot of power has been centralized without access for these rural areas. All of this has meant that, you know, in many ways, as unfortunate as it is, this outcome is also expected.
So for one rural village that you've been in touch with in some way or another, tell us what the needs are.
This village in Gorkha, for instance, which is the district where the epicenter for the big earthquake was, we got a call saying that 90% of households don't have any homes anymore because their mud houses have been demolished and nobody's reached them yet. And this was 2.5 days ago. So as soon as we heard about this, we tried to mobilize our resources on the ground. I'm working with some of our partner organizations from Nepal to try and reach this community. Initially, we carried out a needs assessment over the phone because we couldn't reach this area easily. As I said, it takes over a day just to even get there in any case. And we were told that, you know, they have no tents, they have no blankets, so they're out in the cold, they're wet. So we quickly started mobilizing to try and first set up an initial response team that would provide these tents. Of course, it's quite difficult to procure 7,000 tents at one go, especially at a time of crisis. So what we're doing is actually trying to source tarpaulin to create tents with bamboo. But we're facing quite a lot of logistical challenges and bureaucratic challenges to actually get this material there. But the hope is that we can send some teams first to get this material there and then do a proper assessment of what the other needs are and then facilitate further support to these communities.
You know, just the way you describe this, it kind of sounds like the tension in Nepal between urban and rural is a lot like a lot of other places around the globe.
I think, you know, the sort of disparity between the rich and the poor, rural and urban, appears to be growing quite significantly across the board, not only in terms of socioeconomic status, but also in terms of power and where the centers of power are. So these rural communities have been ignored, not only because they're poor, but also because they don't have access to this kind of power. And as a result, during times of crisis, it becomes even more difficult to reach those that are most marginalized.
Trochis Karki has been organizing relief efforts in Nepal from his home in Oxford, England. Thank you for your thoughts.
Thank you very much.